I want you to think about one of the best decisions you've ever made in life, right? It's a decision you made. Maybe you made it a long time ago. Maybe you made it yesterday. But it continues to produce fruit in your life. It continues to pay dividends. So I want you to keep that in your mind. And now I'm going to ask you, try to go back to that time when you made the decision. Was it the easiest decision to make? Was it a hard decision to make? Or do you just not even remember anymore? Because I was thinking about this for myself, and I said, you know, one of the best decisions of my life was to ask out Sarah and eventually to marry Sarah. And I would love to say it was the easiest decision I ever made, but it wasn't that easy as I think about it. Right? There was a lot of factors, a lot of things we had to overcome, but it was one of the best decisions I ever made. And this got me thinking about the acceptance of the gospel. We know for all of us, the greatest decision we ever made was to make Jesus our Lord and Savior. But we also have to remember it wasn't necessarily an easy decision. Right? So we're gonna talk about that a little bit today. Believe it or not, we are wrapping up our series, Christ is Calling. You will see no more crisis calling for I don't know how long, but part 27 is the end. So this is my record for the length of a sermon, 27 parts. And so I don't know why I have 26 on there. But the name of the sermon title is Called to Choose Between Life or Death and Blessings or Curses. That's how we're going to end it, okay? We've been going hard after many essential foundational things in Christianity, and then it all boils down to every single person on this planet must choose between life or death and blessings or curses. So our text today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, and it starts with a verse 11 and goes through the end of the chapter. And I'm coming to you from the New Living Translation today. So the text says, this command, and this is Moses directed by God talking to the Israelites. This command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you. It is not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey? It is not kept beyond the sea so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are called to choose between life or death and blessings or curses. So today's going to look different. My sermon is going to be relatively short because I'm going to put this back in your hands, and you're going to see that in about 15, 20 minutes. Okay, so I'll give you a heads up. It's not short because I didn't put in study time. It's short on purpose. So principle number one today, the conditions of Christ's covenant are knowable, reasonable, comprehensible, and doable. What he's asking us to sign into, this marriage contract between the church and its master, is knowable, reasonable, comprehensible, and doable. As the text says, this command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it is not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven, so distant you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey. It is not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey. No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. The text then goes on to say, man, I'm giving you the choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. And he tells us, what does that look like, right? So it's interesting, right? Because, you know, obviously I do a lot of marital counseling, premarital counseling. And so in marriage, you might think you know what you're getting, but you really don't know what you're going to get. You know, because both people are, we generally tend to put forward our best selves. But until you're living together and the curtain's pulled all the way back, you really don't know what you're going to get. Right? And then, to make it more complicated, is each person's growing. So you keep growing, and then sometimes you're not growing in the same direction. Right? You're not growing in the same convictions. That is not the way Christ's covenant works. It is 100% spelled out. There's not going to be any changes. You're getting all of it up front. He's not trying to put his best foot forward. He's just telling you the truth for what it is. And so this is what makes it doable, right? And we have to remember this, because so many people get caught up, and this is the sad part. This is what I think is the main difference between what I deem true Christianity, which to me is spiritual Christianity, versus religious Christianity. Religious Christianity makes up a bunch of rules that are not necessary. They're extra stumbling blocks that have nothing to do with relationship with the Trinity. Those things become undoable, right? I'm bringing Bora Bora back here. So as I was talking with the Polynesians of Bora Bora, and I was explaining to them the difference between spiritual Christianity and religious, I reminded them what they already knew and what most of us know. That when the conquerors came into the different countries, they offered you a Bible in one hand and a sword in the other, right? And so basically it was, you can accept God, and by the grace of God, many did. But then they were told, if you accept God, you must reject every single thing about your life and your culture and everything you know, because it's all bad. And that was never true. Diversity is found in the Godhead. So every culture has things deposited by God. Every culture has things deposited by Satan. Our job is to filter which ones are of God and which ones are not. But when you tell an entire people group everything about you and your ways is anti-God, which number one isn't even true, then it becomes very difficult to follow God. It becomes very difficult to know the truth. And that is not the way Christ's covenant works. His covenant is actually very simple. That we are all alienated from God by our sin. Sin is not even a sickness that can be cured. It is a state of life in which we are perpetually living, from which we cannot save ourselves. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit can we be changed and transformed, but the only way we receive the Holy Spirit is through our faith in Jesus Christ, the second member of the Trinity, God in the flesh, who lived a holy, perfect, sinless life, died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, was resurrected on the third day, showing his power and dominion over all reality, all creation, who now offers us reconciliation with the Father. It doesn't get more complicated than that. You can boil down everything we need to do in this life by the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else falls under that umbrella. It's not that complicated. And so let us not be fooled. And let us help others not be fooled into thinking that it's about following, you know, the 700 and I don't remember how many rules the Pharisees and Sadducees came up with. They came up with a whole lot. And they kept building and adding extra and extra things that God never said. Let's get back to what just God says, which is knowable, reasonable, comprehensible, and doable. Principle number two, the way we think, the words we say and the actions we take will ultimately reveal the choice we have made. And that choice must be solidified by our commitment over and over and over again. Following Christ is not something that I can just raise my hand and say and it becomes reality. It is a commitment I make that I must keep. And that I must continue to choose over and over because there are constant things coming at us, tempting us, asking us, provoking us to go another way. And so our commitment will be tested and it must be lived out. That's what reveals the choice we've made. You know, I often use this, it's such a negative example, but I think it's so true. You know, it's, if I had an issue with being faithful to my wife, it would be very easy to be faithful with her, to her, if I was never around another woman on the planet again. If I was only with men, secluded by myself, then I am faithful. But I'm not really faithful until there's other women around and there's a possibility to be unfaithful. Am I making sense to you? So faith is exemplified while we live in a lost and fallen world. I think some of our brothers and sisters in Christ have made the mistake of thinking the answer and the solution is to depart from every part of the world that we can and live in seclusion. And this is the right, this is how we honor God. That's really hard to prove biblically. We're supposed to be the light of the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. And so we must not just make a one-time decision. It must be a commitment that we continue to choose. So and we'll see here in starting with verse 15. Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death. Between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are about to enter and occupy. We jump to verse 19. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And we see it here. God not only tells us what the choice is, what the fruit of it is, but then he tells us how to make the choice, right? Making the choice isn't raising your hand saying, I made the choice. He says you can make it by loving him, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. So here is what I call it's not that it's necessarily easy, but the greatest choice and the choice that every human being will make is the choice between life and prosperity or death and disaster. Now here are the terms of this covenant. You must love the Lord your God. You must obey his commands. You must obey his decrees. You must obey his regulations. You must walk in his ways. And you must commit yourself firmly to him. Here are the deal breakers. If your heart turns away, if you refuse to listen, if you are drawn away, if you serve other gods, or if you worship other gods. So, he's telling us the terms and conditions of the contract. This is what breaks the contract. If you fulfill it, here are the positive results. You will live. You will have eternal life. The Lord your God will bless you. You will multiply. It can be family, marriage. It doesn't have to be that. It could be blessings. Your land will be blessed, and you will inherit God's promises. If you choose to break the covenant, you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life. Your land will be cursed. You will endure many disasters or curses, and you will inherit God's curses. I don't know about you, but this is like the easiest choice here. This, I don't know who's really got to think about this. Right? But the thing is, it's easy to say and to choose the right choice, but the commitment behind it is what's not easy. Right? That's why the way we think, the words we say, and the actions we take will ultimately reveal the choice we've made. And that choice must be solidified by our commitment over and over and over again. Principle number 3, genuine saving faith in Christ is a personal matter. However, genuine saving faith will always reveal itself visibly, publicly, and in community. So I am 100% agreement with people when they say, oh, that's between me and God. You're right, that's between you and God. Community can't save you. We love community here. We're all about community here. But the community can't save you. Right? Even Judas was a part of a Christian community. Right? So the community can't save you. But there are benefits to the community. Now, even Judas, as lost as he was, understood the value of being in community. Right? So it's a double-edged sword. Genuine saving faith is personal, but it can never remain private. And that's where so many people go wrong. It's personal, not private. If I really have saving faith, it will be revealed visibly and publicly and in community. For example, I don't know about you, but I really can't stand this. I'll be walking by a shopping center, and then you'll see a big sign, 75% off sale. You go in there, and oh, man, I like shopping here. I can use 75% off. I go in, 5% off. I walk over here, same price. Where's the 75% off, right? When it comes to being a Christian, it shouldn't be like that kind of sale where people have to dig really deep and spend hours there to try to find this 75% off, right? It shouldn't be false advertising. It should be very easy to see that we are genuine Christians. It should be visible. It should be public in whatever context we have. And of course, it should be in community. Here's my question. Is it possible to love the Lord your God, obey his commands, obey his decrees, obey his regulations, walk in his ways, and commit yourself to him privately? Can you do that all by yourself? You can't do any of that by yourself. You're already disobeying if you're not coming together with other believers. This is impossible to have private faith. Personal faith? Must. Private faith? We have some issues. There's no real such thing as that. So again, genuine saving faith in Christ is a personal matter. However, genuine saving faith will always reveal itself visibly, publicly, and in community. And here's our last principle for the day, number four. God has shared his loving, caring, perfect desire regarding our free will choice with us over and over and over again. He lays out the issue, right? Choose between life and death. Choose between, I forget the other one right now, prosperity and disaster. And he just makes it plain. He makes the covenant plain. He tells us everything. But then he even tells us in verse 19, today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. He pleads with us, oh, that you would choose life. It ain't a secret what I want for you. I want you to choose life so that you and your descendants will live. If that's not enough, he tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. If that's not enough, he tells us in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. If that's not enough, he sends Jesus. God in the flesh comes for himself, tells us from his own mouth that I'm not here for the healthy, I'm here for the sick. God has made his heart known, his care known, his desire known. I want you to be with me. And here's how to do it, step by step. So the question remains, what will you choose? What have we chosen? And if we've truly made Christ the Lord and Savior of our lives, has our faith been revealed visibly, publicly, and in community? Is it easy to see? My question for you is, what is God calling you to do through this series? So here's where we're going to be different today. We are going to put up on the screen all 26, I guess the number's 26, 26 sermon titles in this series. And we just want you to take maybe 5 to 7 minutes of quiet time. What do you know God is calling you to do? He's asking you to obey this. What is it for you? If we didn't cover it in 27 parts, I guess I could make Christ's calling 50 parts. But I know you don't want that. Thank you, Alan. I know Alan's raising the roof over there. I know you don't want that. So show me what you've learned. Have faith in your community. And be vulnerable and transparent. Okay? So again, I'm going to pray right now. And then we're going to put the loop up on the screen. And as soon as we've gone through it twice, I'm literally going to ask you to come up and share what is God asking you to do right now. We don't need your life story. We don't need all the details. What is he asking you to do, either directly from the titles, or maybe it's something different and you know it. But we're going to ask you to share. And I believe, you know, we're so good as a society to, like, punish bad behavior. I like to reward good behavior. That's just me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give $10 Starbucks gift cards to the first 10 people that do it. You can look at it as a bribe, or you can look at it as reinforcing behaviors that we want. And I know you're not going to sell your soul for $10, and I'm not asking you to sell your soul for $10. I'm trying to reward your faithfulness for coming up and showing some courage. Amen? So we're going to pray, we're going to put the loop on, and then we're going to turn it over to each of us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you've made the decision between life and death, between prosperity and destruction and disaster, so easy to choose from. We thank you that you've revealed this decision for what it is, because Satan sure has a way of spinning that choice to make it look good, to bring on death and destruction. Thank you, Lord, for the purity of your word. Thank you for your patience and your suffering, your heartache, your frustration, your anger, as you watch your created family struggle with the easiest decision to ever be made. Lord, forgive us that it even takes us as long as it took to make the decision. And we ask, Lord, that you use us to help others not have to take as long, and to help others actually make the decision, which will be the best decision of their life, both here and now and for all of eternity. Lord, thank you for always telling us the truth, no matter how much it hurts. Thank you for making profound truths plain to us, for making your will knowable, for making it comprehensible, and for allowing it to be doable for even the most fallen like we are. Lord, we know and we are privileged to know that you speak to us and reveal yourself to us regularly. I pray and we pray that you've been doing this through the series Christ is Calling. We know you've been calling and calling, and it's time for us to pick up the phone. No more voicemails. And we know that this is the time now for us to respond. So Lord, I pray that you embolden and empower and encourage these your daughters and sons, these my sisters and brothers, to get up and share with their church family what you are calling them to do. We believe this will increase our prayers for each other. We believe this will make us accountable to people that matter, and that there will be nothing but blessings poured out when we speak your words of truth and what you're asking us to do publicly. Lord, I pray that they are all able to step out in faith and to share. So Lord, we thank you, we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.